Every single moment of our lives, you and I are being watched. Every single second of our time spent on earth is being carefully observed from above. Every thought that ever runs through your mind is witnessed. Every desire that wells up in your heart is noted. Every word that ever proceeds from your lips is recorded. You and I are under constant surveillance from God. Our every move is being monitored. For as our verse this morning tells us, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. It's a vitally important, powerful, and profoundly sobering truth that needs to be kept in our minds at all times. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, one thing is certain. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. They're in all places, we're told. There's nowhere you can hide from the piercing gaze of the Almighty. His eyes are absolutely everywhere, in the dark, as well as in the light, behind closed doors, as well as out in the open, in your home, in your bedroom, in your work, right here in this church building. The eyes of the Lord are all around you. Not just far off up in the corner at a safe distance, but right in front of you and behind you and beside you and above you and beneath you and even inside you. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He looks right into your mind. He looks into your heart. All your secret thoughts, your private imaginations, your innermost motives, your hidden attitudes, all of them are constantly viewed by the eyes of your God. Because our God is the God who is present everywhere, and he's the God who knows all things. He sees absolutely everything in one single eternal act. He sees every single inch of the universe comprehensively, all at once. He can observe all the movements of every human being simultaneously with equal attention and focus. And so all his attention is bent on you, particularly and individually at this moment. And at the same time, God's attention is on the footsteps of every insect, the journey of every particle of dust, the exact position and number of all the atoms in existence. He perceives everything all at once, and not just in this present world. He's the God who looks down through the ages. He sees all history mapped out before him. He sees past, present, and future all at once. He looks down through the corridors of time, and he can see round every corner. He knows what your next word is going to be. He anticipates what your next thought is going to be. He knows what decisions you're going to make before you've even contemplated them. He's the God who sees all things. This is the great God that we live our lives before every day. An infinite God with no limitations. A God outside of the restrictions of space and time and nature, and yet who is present throughout his whole creation and who sees all things everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. This morning, let's consider five effects that this great truth should have upon us. The first is this: it should bring us conviction of sin. It is a very unsettling thought to know that God beholds all that you think and do. He knows the very worst about you. He knows your deepest, darkest secrets. Absolutely nothing passes him by. You're completely exposed to his scrutiny. You're transparent. You're an open book before him. Hebrews tells us this: there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give accounts. Everything you do in full view of the God who's going to judge you. His penetrating gaze is fixed upon you, and he's appalled by what he has to see. He sees all those selfish ambitions and self-serving intentions which other people don't discern, but which are there in our hearts. He sees all those lustful desires and imaginations that pollute our minds. He sees all the bitter, resentful thoughts we harbour against others, which may not be expressed verbally, but which are simmering away inside us and poisoning us. He sees all the greedy longings, the jealous envyings that spring up inside us. He sees all the thoughtless, careless, heartless words that come out of our mouths. He sees all the precious time that we waste on triviality and nonsense. He sees all the laziness and lethargy that so easily take hold of us. He sees all the lies and half-truths that come tumbling out of our lips. Nothing ever goes unnoticed. All of your life is on full display to the God of heaven. Imagine how dreadful it would be to discover that a hidden camera had been capturing your every move during this last week. What panic would set in were we to realize that? Or worse still, imagine that some sort of device could be inserted into your brain that could project your thoughts to the rest of the world. Imagine what shame, what embarrassment you would feel. And yet, all of it has been seen. Someone has been surveying your daily life. Someone far more important and significant than any human being in this world. The very author of your being. He's looking at you right now. He's peering into your heart. He's reading your thoughts. And what is he? He's a consuming fire. Dazzlingly holy. All pure and perfect in every way. What disgust he must feel when he looks into your heart and he examines its darkest recesses. What grief you provoke as he scrutinizes the coldness and iciness of your spirit. What sorrow we must cause him as he sees the way we live and the things that we do. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Do you feel the awesome weight of this disturbing truth? Does it unsettle you to know that the sins you commit every day are done right in God's face? Does it crush you to think of God sleeplessly staring at you and weeping at what he finds? This reality is something that should cause deep, humbling, painful conviction of sin. If you're not a Christian here this morning, then you need to wake up to your true state before God. He looks down at you and he's not pleased, he's not happy, he's not impressed at all by you. His eyes penetrate past the outward and he sees that at the center of your nature, like everyone else, you're rotten, filthy, depraved in his sight. You need to repent at once before he throws you into the depths. None of your conduct has gone unseen by God. You must go to him immediately and beg for mercy. Only he can turn away your sin. Your only hope is Jesus Christ. He's the one who can divert the burning anger of God, aroused by what he sees. Jesus Christ can turn that anger away once and for all through his death on the cross. If you don't go to Jesus Christ now, it may be too late. God has seen us all. He's, in one sense, already made his judgment. He doesn't need to sit down and think about what to do with you when you die. It's settled already because he's seen all your conduct and his verdict is guilty and his sentence is eternal condemnation. Repent now before it's too late. If you are a Christian, are you still confessing all your sins before God? Or have you fallen into the habit of just lazily giving a vague and general admittance of guilt each day, rather than going through your sins specifically, one by one, asking God to search out your heart and earnestly seeking his restoration how our consciences are seared by just a general talk about sin and disobedience and rebellion without thinking about our personal individual sins, the sins that we commit day by day. Is repentance just an empty routine for you now? Something that you give lip service to, but there's never a thorough heart searching. You go through the motions of saying sorry to God, perhaps, but your heart is never truly broken down. Your spirit's never stung with the horror of your sins. Think of God having to watch you day after day after day, committing the same old sins and seeing such a half-hearted and shallow penitence. May the thought of God's piercing eyes staring down relentlessly upon us disturb us and drive us to a deep and thorough and transforming conviction of sin. Secondly, this truth should inspire great carefulness. Not only should it bring conviction about our past sins, but it should make us careful about our present living. How easy it is to become careless and complacent in our Christian walk. We may be avoiding those major outward sins, but we're just drifting along day by day, going through the motions of religious activity, but without any proper diligence and fear of God. What we need is a healthy sense of the all-seeing presence of our God with us 24 hours a day. That's what should restrain us from a casual attitude to life, from slothfulness, from recklessness. When you're feeling lazy and lethargic, remember the eyes of God are upon you. The hours you waste, the time you spend on self, all of it is being clocked and recorded by the King. When you're feeling tempted, remember that the eyes of God are upon you. As you feel yourself being drawn and attracted towards disobedience or enticed by some particular sin, call to mind that you are under the gaze of God every single second of the day. Are you going to shamelessly commit sin right in front of his very face? Or will that knowledge of his unbroken vigil around you, his surrounding presence, horrify you out of sin? What we need to do is cultivate a healthy sense of God's unceasing presence all around about us, day and night. You may not feel him there, but he is always present. He's present not just with Christians, he's always present with those who are evil, as well as those who, in the language of this verse, are good. God is always there. When you're on your own, remember, the eyes of God are upon you. Maybe no one else will notice what you're doing. Maybe nobody else can see. But God is tracking you wherever you go. He was always fixing his close attention upon you. You can retreat from the rest of the world. You can hide from society. You can withdraw from human beings. You can make sure that the door is locked and nobody else can see you. But God is there. The eyes of the Lord, Chronicle says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So his restless gaze is pursuing you and chasing you, however much you try and hide from him. How does the psalmist put it? Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You're never truly by yourself, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. What carefulness this truth should promote in us. You can't just be slack and sluggish in your Christian life and think you're going to get away with it. God is watching you, and he disciplines, he chastens those whom he loves. Do you live in the fear of your Maker? Or have you lost all sense of awe and wonder at his glory and greatness all around you? Are you at peace with your sin and sloppy in your efforts to fight it? Or are you conscious of the roving eyes of the Eternal One? Let's throw aside all lethargy and carelessness, because the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Third, this truth should produce consistency. Consistency. It should kill all that refined hypocrisy and pretense that it's so easy to slip into almost unawares. It's so easy to fall into the habit of trying to create a good impression for others and project an image to those around us that doesn't reflect our true selves. We can become so concerned with wanting others to think well of us, with valuing the praise of men and trying to preserve our own precious reputations. But God sees past your facade. He sees right through the veneer and the mask that we may put on for others. He looks right inside. He sees things as they really are. The famous verse in 1 Samuel 16 puts it like this: "The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." His assessment is what really counts. And he's looking for the true motives, desires, and attitudes within you. How offensive it must be to see us acting in one way before the eyes of men, and yet he can see past it at the same time, what we're really thinking about them, what's really going on through our mind, what our attitude really is, and yet how hypocritical we can be. Jesus Christ made it clear how much God detests and loathes hypocrisy, and yet how easy it is to be found among good Bible-believing evangelical Christians. Does it really matter what other people think of you? They're mortal. They're sinful. They're creatures. They're dust. They're not going to pass judgment upon you in the future. But what about God? What about his eyes? That's what you ought to be concerned about. The eyes of the eternal, infinite, righteous, highly exalted, sovereign ruler of the universe are scanning your heart right now and analyzing your mind and weighing you in the balances. When we're with other Christians, remember the eyes of God are the ones that are upon you. Don't switch into holy mode and pretend to be someone you're not when you're in the company of believers. Don't try and play a part and look good in front of them. Don't just say things to impress others and make them think highly of you. God sees who you really are. Would you rather have his smile upon you or the esteem of sinful human beings? When we pray together as God's people, remember it's the eyes of God that are fixed upon your hearts. We're not praying to each other, but to the all-seeing God of heaven. Don't be concerned about the gaze of those around you. Focus on the God who sees the heart. A false, artificial but well-sounding prayer may well win the respect of men, but it forfeits the approval of God. He's the one who matters. He's the one who counts. Maybe some of you are living a double life at the moment. Remember, the eyes of God are upon you. Maybe you act one way here in church, and then you go home and you're completely different and we wouldn't recognize you there. Maybe there's a huge gulf between your life here among the people of God and in the workplace or in school. Remember, the same God is watching you with equal attention, whether you're in a service of worship, whether you're completely in private, or whether you're in the company of unbelievers. God is there. He goes with you. He follows you wherever you are, watching every move. Perhaps no one has yet discovered your two faces, but God sees and observes and notes it all down. Let's abandon all insincerity, inconsistency. Fine clothes and fine words and fine outward behavior may well easily deceive other people, but you cannot ever fool God, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Fourthly, this truth should give us courage. It can be most emboldening to know that the eyes of the Lord are all around us. It doesn't just crush us with a sense of guilt and an awareness of our sin. It can also lift our spirits. It means that he is always keeping vigil over us. He's looking out for us. He's diligently guarding us. Nothing can happen to you outside of the knowledge and oversight of Almighty God. He's always there, carefully monitoring your situation. He's keeping a close eye on all our various circumstances. And the psalmist says, "He who keeps you will not slumber." There's always this protective guardian completely surrounding you every minute of the day. He's never distracted from his watch, even for the slightest moment. When you feel completely alone, the eyes of God, they're upon you. His fatherly smile is beaming down upon you. His angels are encamped all around you. He's not just high up there in heaven, peering in an aloof manner down over the balcony of glory from a great distance. No, he's in the room with you. And not even just up in the corner. He's all around you. He's near to us. He's close at hand. He's never remote or detached or far off. We mustn't think of God like that. Sometimes you may have to stand alone against the crowds. But remember, God is right there behind you. He has his caring gaze settled permanently upon you. When you feel fearful and afraid, the eyes of God are upon you. The pressure of your circumstances may begin to overwhelm you, but you never have to face them alone. The loving, shielding watch of our Father should dispel all the fright and terror that can seize hold of us. Maybe you feel confused and uncertain about the future, but the eyes of God are upon you, and they see clearly. Maybe you're not sure what lies ahead, but place your trust and confidence in him because he can direct you through the shadows with his superior sight and knowledge. He's well able to see around the next corner and to lead and guide us safely there, even if we don't know what is happening to us. The eyes of the Lord are upon you, keeping watch. It should give us great courage. Why be overcome with terror when God is sovereignly overseeing every detail of your life? Why be anxious and afraid if God fixes his eyes upon you? He's keeping a close check on the situation around you. It's as though he has his eye on the thermometer and he's making sure that the temperature, the heat doesn't get too high. Everything's under control. He will allow pressure to come upon you, but only if it's designed for your good. He's in charge. He's watching, and nothing can intrude upon your life unless God gives permission. God is keeping you safe. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Fifthly, this truth should supply us with comfort. With comfort. What a great consolation it is to know that the eyes of the Lord are in all places, at all times. It means he's always there for us. He's always aware of our situation. He's always conscious of our struggles. He's never in the dark about anything. He sees everything with clarity and accuracy. Other people may not know what's going on in our life. They may not understand what we're going through or how we're feeling, but God sees. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry, says the psalmist. When you suffer, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Maybe nobody else truly understands the turmoil that you're going through. Maybe nobody else can discern the real pain that you're experiencing. But God sees. Maybe you think nobody else understands. Maybe nobody else appreciates the trouble or the anguish that you're having to face. But the eyes of God observe your plight. The compassionate eyes of the Lord are always beholding your suffering, and his heart is moved. He's always ready to hear you pour out your heart and unburden yourself before him. When you're wronged, remember, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Maybe you've been hurt or harmed or insulted or offended by someone and nobody else really realizes it. Maybe you don't feel comfortable in telling anyone else about it or confiding in someone, but God sees the situation clearly. Maybe people have misunderstood and misjudged you and you feel let down, cast down and dejected, but remember, God sees things clearly. He's going to vindicate you in the end. He knows when you're truly in the right. Maybe you're serving him faithfully. Remember, the eyes of God are upon you. None of your work for the king goes unnoticed. Perhaps no one else really is aware of the genuine good you're doing. Maybe you're doing something quietly behind the scenes, serving the Lord diligently. No one else has any idea about it. But God sees. He recognizes sincere devotion and obedience when it's truly there. And, astonishingly, we don't deserve it, but he promises a great reward in store for us. Even the giving of a cup of cold water is noted down by the Master, and it will not be forgotten. What great comfort this truth should provide us with. However distressed or battered you may feel, there's always someone by your side, watching over you, attending to you. His sight is never diverted away from you. His heart is never closed to you. His caring watch never comes to an end. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. What a vital, weighty, searching truth this ought to be. There is absolutely no refuge or retreat from the 24-hour surveillance of our Creator. All of us here sitting down today in this room, we're naked, we're exposed. The outer layers are ripped off. We're vulnerable before his eyes. You can't hide from him. You can't avoid him. You can't escape from him. He's everywhere. Now, if you're one of his children, this should be a constant, restraining, sobering influence on your life, on your decision-making, on the way you choose to spend your time. Remember, your whole life is lived out in the immediate presence of Almighty God. And let's live in the light of it. But if you're not one of God's children, you better quickly get down upon your knees, own up to all the sin and corruption in your life, and plead for pardon in the name of Jesus. Hadn't you better reckon with your dangerous position before God? There you are, an open book before God. Every second of your life, every flash of selfishness, every lustful thought, every moment of greed, every time you've offended and wounded and abused another person, all your sin, all your breaking of God's law, it's been observed by God, and he has a book with your name upon it. And page after page after page after page details your life. None of it will be forgotten. You won't get away with anything. And when you add it all up, all the sins you've ever committed since your youngest days, and when you consider whom the crime is committed against, you've committed treason against the one who made all the stars of space, the one who rules over the entire universe, the one who can breathe galaxies into existence, this great God, and you're going to have to stand before him face to face, little tiny, insignificant, mortal dust like you. And then this boundless, limitless, unrestricted, huge, massive, fearful, great, holy, clean, pure, righteous, good, just, inescapable God. And you're quaking before him, and he reviews your life. He evaluates your time on earth. He reads page after page after page of guilt and shame and vileness and sin. What answer will you give? Dear friends, you won't be able to stammer out one syllable. You won't be able to speak. It'll be so petrifying if you have to stand before God and you don't have a protector. You don't have a friend. You don't have someone to rescue you. You don't have someone to stand up for you. You don't have somebody to defend you. Dear friends, to meet God without Jesus is the most dreadful and terrifying, petrifying, frightening experience imaginable. To have to look upon the God who has cared for you and loved you and given you so many good things throughout your life, who provided a Savior that you might be forgiven, this generous-hearted God who's the fountain of all delight and pleasure, and to have him, this good, kind, noble God, look upon you with inconceivable sternness, and to look right through you, right to the very bottommost recesses of your soul, and see all the evil lurking there. And you know, before he's even spoken, you're damned, you're doomed, you have no hope. Friends, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, God who has seen everything. You know, there is one way to hide from God's view our sins. There is one way that we can conceal all our rottenness from the searching gaze of God. There is one way that you can actually obscure all your breaking of his law from his vision. How can you do that if he sees everything, if his eyes are in all places, if he searches down to the very depths of hell and the heights of heaven and he sees everything all at once and nothing escapes his attention? How can that be so? Jesus Christ, God's Son, coming into this world, living a perfect, righteous, clean, loving, patient, kind life, dying on a cross, pouring out his blood, sacrificing his own life, suffering great pain, being crushed under the very anger of God. Why? Because all those sins that are found within us, all that blasphemy, all that selfishness, all that malice, all that spite, all that bitterness, extracted from us, gathered together, heaped onto the Lord Jesus Christ, God's anger being vented against him. And what does Jesus do? He absorbs away all our sins. They're gone, taken up into himself and dealt with completely. And all our sins drowned away from sight in his flowing blood. That's how you can get rid of your sin. And what does God do then? He looks at you, and in one sense he hasn't forgotten your past conduct, because God knows all things. But he voluntarily chooses to block it from his vision. I'm going to overlook it. I'm going to ignore it. I'm not going to be unfair, I'm not going to sweep it under the carpet, but I'm going to count that sin that you're committing as having been paid for by my Son, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. And so you go scot-free, and I look at you, and I know you've done it, but I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to be after you, because justice has been done. My Son has bled. My Son has suffered. All the dirtiness, the filthiness, the rottenness, the depravity that spews out of your hearts, I poured it out onto my very innocent Son, Jesus Christ, and he drank all my wrath. And now his own beauty, his own patience and kindness and obedience and loveliness and righteousness, his own goodness is wrapped around you. And I look at you, sinful and wicked, a failure in every sense of the word, and all I see is my Son, Jesus. He hides your sin. He's wrapped around you. He covers you. He obscures your rottenness from sight. Has that happened to you? Have you gone to Jesus for protection from God? Have you gone to Jesus so that you're safe from your Creator who will condemn you? Run to him. Embrace him. Fall upon your knees and cry out in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And then, even though God will still be watching you, you have nothing to be afraid of, because God will vindicate you. God will pardon all the bad he sees, and he'll bring you into everlasting glory. What does Jesus Christ say? He says, he that believes on me has everlasting life. Why not make this the day that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll be saved. Amen.